From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we continue this series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 22. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Reassured by the word of the Lord, the poor trembling saints of Zion grew bold and shook their heads at Sennacherib's boastful threats. Strong faith enables the servants of God to look with calm contempt upon their most haughty foes. We know that our enemies are attempting impossibilities. They seek to destroy the eternal life, which cannot die while Jesus lives, to overthrow the citadel against which the gates of hell shall not prevail. They kick against the pricks to their own wounding, and rush upon the bosses of Jehovah's buckler to their own hurt. We know their weakness. What are they but men? And what is man but a worm? They roar and swell like the waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. When the Lord ariseth, they shall fly as chaff before the wind, and be consumed as crackling thorns. Their utter powerlessness to do damage to the cause of God and His truth may make the weakest soldiers in Zion's ranks laugh them to scorn. Above all, we know that the Most High is with us, and when He dresses Himself in arms, where are His enemies? If he cometh forth from his place, the potsherds of the earth will not long contend with their maker. His rod of iron shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel, and their very remembrance shall perish from the earth. Away then, all fears! The kingdom is safe in the king's hands. Let us shout for joy, for the Lord reigneth, and his foes shall be as straw for the dunghill. As true as God's own word is true, nor earth nor hell with all their crew against us shall prevail. A jest and byword are they grown. God is with us. We are His own. Our victory cannot fail.
Once for all to say, your pain redemption's prize, when upon the cross triumph sounding from the tree, hear his shout sounding of victory. It is finished, the battle is over. It is finished, through God's own Son. It is finished, glory, hallelujah. It is finished, the victory is won.
Though your sins are scarlet, they shall be as snow. For the Jesus Christ has died, salvation is complete. Follow to his cross and worship at his feet. Listen to his shout resounding far and near. Still is heard, trust his word, never fear.
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've mentioned Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. In addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Or if you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. As he continues this series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, God's Plan to Bring the Gospel to the World. The text is verses 11 through 21 of Romans chapter 10. The way of salvation is abundantly clear. Indeed, it is sufficient for the whole world. And yet, that message must be proclaimed. As Paul put it, how shall they hear without a preacher? God has ordained what Paul calls the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. Here is the responsibility of the church and of every individual Christian. In the Great Commission, Christ commanded, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The gospel invitation extends to all, for whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, God's plan to bring the gospel to the world.
One of the things that very often scares believers, and I can speak from experience here, I went through this particular valley. And should scare a whole lot of people who pass themselves off as believers, and in their hearts they know they're nothing but ungodly, unconverted, unsaved hypocrites who have no more desire to live the Christian life than the devil has. Now, I'm being blunt with you because I think there are people who come to churches like this and that's exactly where they are. It's something that ought to scare such people. And it is the thought of being accepted as a Christian down here, being looked on as a Christian by the minister, by the elders, by the Christians around you, being welcomed into the church. Everybody accepts you as a Christian. And then you stand before God. And you hear that dreadful, dreadful condemnation. Depart from me. I never knew you. In all the vocabulary of judgment, I can think of nothing quite so horrible as that. Yet, you know, that is a shame that a simple believer in Jesus Christ will never endure. Not because of the strength of his faith, but because of the object of his faith, Jesus Christ. Not because of the wonderful quality of his discipleship, but because of the wonderful merits of the one whose disciple he is. You believe in him, you will never be put to shame. But you do not have him as your Lord. You do not receive him as your righteousness. And it doesn't matter what else you have. You may be like the skeptic. Skeptics go to hell. And they stop being skeptics from that second. There are no atheists in hell. There are no skeptics in hell. You may be like the skeptic and perish. You may be like the hypocrite and perish. You may be like the empty professor. And you know what I'm talking about. Simply got enough religion and enough religious vocabulary to keep Christians off your back and pass for what you're not and what you've no interest in being. You will be put to shame. But the assurance of acceptance, verse 11, is given to every believer. When you look at verse 12, here's another aspect of the message for the world, for it's the plain statement of Christ's willingness to receive, what's this, all who wish to be saved. Verse 12, we read, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Now I want you to get the description of Christ. I'm not going to take time to deal with it, for I've dealt with it already in past nights. But he is Lord over all. And this Lord over all, heaven, earth, and hell, is rich to all who call upon him. Now, whom is Christ willing to save? Whom is Christ willing to receive? This goes to a question of conscience that is raised again and again and again. We have all these general promises of the gospel, but how can I make sure they're for me? How can I be certain that I'm included? The usual carnal answer is, well, I've got to know. Am I the elect of God? No, sir, that is not what you've got to know. What you've got to know is the terms on which God says you may be saved. And remember the words of the old, or the truth of the old Scottish theologian that he set forth, that saving faith is nothing more than a hearty acceptance of God's way of saving sinners. That's what it is. What is God's way of saving sinners? He says that he's rich to all who call upon him. Whom is Christ willing to save? He's willing to save anybody who simply and honestly calls upon him to save them. Can anything be more straightforward? Now I follow up to the next verse. And so you see the Lord's undertaking given in the most absolute terms. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now let me follow up with a little grammar from what I said last week. I want you to watch something that I think is very significant. In verse 12, he is rich unto all who call. Remember a great American preacher, he was also one of the foremost scholars in fundamentalism, man of, I forget the number of languages he spoke, and the number of ancient languages he knew, and he lectured all over the world. He was, I think, at some of the leading English universities as a guest lecturer. He was at many American institutions. And I remember, I was fascinated, I wish I'd been there to hear it, but he said that he used to do a lecture, or a sermon maybe it was, on the force, the implications of the indicative mood. That sounds very interesting, doesn't it? The indicative mood. That's the mood of a verb that makes a statement. Wise normally speak in the imperative mood. But we'll not get into that. Verse 12, and this is very, very precise. The Lord is rich unto all that call on him. The indicative mood. If you actually call on Christ, the promise is he is rich to everyone who actually calls on him. But I want you to get the implication. He is not rich in saving mercy to anybody who does not call on him. That's the implication. But to everyone who calls on him, he is rich in mercy. Now you come to verse 13. Why is he rich in mercy? Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now whosoever shall call. Now we move out of the indicative into the subjunctive mood, which, to take a shortcut of explanation, is a mood to introduce the idea of a measure of uncertainty. What Paul is saying here is, whosoever may call among all the people who hear, whosoever may call upon the name of the Lord, I don't know who's going to call. I don't know if they're going to call. When I preach, I have no idea of knowing if you are going to respond to the preaching of the Word of God. But if you call, there's the idea of the uncertainty. The uncertainty is not in the promise. The uncertainty is not even as regards God's decree. The uncertainty is, we don't know what you're going to do. Now, does the Lord know? Certainly he does. Has the Lord decreed everything? Yes, he has. But remember the truth. It's a great theological truth. Remember when I read W.G.T. Shedd in this, it shed a whole lot of light in things for me. Remember that the same event can be both certain and uncertain at the same time. And if that sounds off the wall to you, don't believe it. It is certain to God, but uncertain to me. And you know, we live our lives with that every day. Do we not? I don't know what the next minute holds, never mind what the next day, week, month, or year may hold. That's uncertain to me, but it's not uncertain to God. The uncertainty here is from a human standpoint. I don't know what you're going to do with the gospel. But whosoever may call upon the name of the Lord, put that in another way, if any of you who hear the message will call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Now there's a message for the whole world, the whosoever, Jew and Greek, rich and poor, young and old, men of every class and caliber. Here's a message for the whole world. Justification by free grace. And it's honestly presented with this invitation. If you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, if you will call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Now we come to the climax of the chapter, verses 14 through 21. That seems a very long passage, but I hope, deal with it rather succinctly. But I want you to get, now here's the great climax of the chapter. And it's one that must grip the heart of this preacher, and it must grip the heart of this church. And it must grip the soul of the whole Free Presbyterian movement. If we are ever to be anything for God, if we are to justify our existence as a claimed church of Jesus Christ, then this part of this chapter must grip our very being. And here it is. If the gospel is God's message to the world, then the world must hear it. And God in love has ordained the means to make sure that it does. Do you follow this? This is what the final section's all about. Right, don't we believe the gospel is God's message for the world? Is there a Christian anywhere who has any doubt of that? But if the gospel is God's message for the world, then the world must hear the gospel. And in His sovereign love, God has ordained the means to make sure that it does. In verses 14 to 21, you have perhaps Paul's closest attempt. Well, maybe attempt's not the word. It's his closest treatment of the subject of the relation of God's sovereignty to human responsibility. J.A. Bengel, one of the greatest names in the history of New Testament interpretation, not to say that he was right in everything, but he certainly plowed a furrow that others have come along afterwards and have found great use in what he has done. J.A. Bengel summed up this passage as beautifully as anything I have ever seen. This is what he said. He who desires the end desires also the means. Now here's how he proves it. Follow it carefully down here. God desires man to call savingly on Him. This is what Paul is teaching. God desires man to call savingly on Him. Therefore, He desires them to believe. Therefore, He desires them to hear. Therefore, He desires them to have preachers. And therefore, He sends preachers. And that's the complete demonstration that Bengel works out here. And it's what I would call five links in God's chain of grace. The Lord desires men to call on Him. Indeed, He commands it. Oh, listen, in all our standing, and let me emphasize this, and if you find it difficult to relate all the parts, well then just admit you find it difficult, but don't fail to do this. In all our standing for sovereign grace, in all our standing for the eternal decrees of God at work in creation, providence, and redemption, let us never lose sight of the eternal innate goodness of God. who desires sinners savingly to call upon Jesus Christ. Never let us forget that heaven does not rejoice when men become millionaires. Heaven does not rejoice when men climb the ladder of success. Heaven does not rejoice when the world says you have really made it. Heaven rejoices when a sinner calls on God for salvation. Heaven rejoices when one poor, lost, guilty, wandering soul is saved by faith in Jesus. That's what makes heaven rejoice. That's what makes the bells of glory peal. That's, if I could put it very, very colloquially, that's what brings a smile to the face of the eternal. God loves to hear the cry of a penitent soul more than any other sound on earth that man can utter. Can you hear it? He desires sinners to be saved.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcma.org. That's www.fpcma.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.